This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. Hope you're well.
Boker Tov, two little snippets to start with. One very, very cynical and one great news. The cynical one is relating to a new pronouncement of interpretation of Jewish law, a halachic ruling that has been issued by a senior rabbi in the ultra-Orthodox community in Jerusalem. And he has issued a ruling about what people should say, whether there is a blessing that should be said when you get arrested. Because, of course, there are so many people within the ultra-Orthodox community who are now subject to arrest for not turning up to the army, that apparently this issue has become relevant to their community. Mm. And their rabbi, would you believe, has come up with a halachic ruling, a ruling of Jewish law, that pronounces that there is a certain blessing that should be pronounced when you get arrested, even though this blessing doesn't include God's name, because apparently in general there's a halachic rule that says where there's some uncertainty surrounding a blessing that God's name shouldn't be pronounced. But there is a blessing apparently to pronounce when you are arrested, particularly when you're arrested for draft dodging. So that I think is a little sad, but on a more positive note, more positive note, I wanted to update listeners about work that has been going on and successes in addressing this issue of the explosive drones that are being used very significantly by Hezbollah. And the Defense Ministry has made a statement saying that there are positive developments and efforts to try to counter these fiber optic drones in particular. Remember, I explained that they're now using drones which have fiber optic cable physically attached to the drone rather than using air frequency to communicate with those drones, because Israel has been doing jamming of the airwaves very, very effectively. And instead of relying upon the air frequency to communicate with drones, and now using these fiber optic cables, which are dozens of kilometers long, attached to the drones to be able to direct the drones. And so that's the main work that the Defense Ministry technology people have been undertaking to try to address this issue. And they've said that they have made progress in several areas, including in the detection, in the warning, in the passive defense, in the missile defense, drone interceptors, and potentially future energy-based weapons, all designed to damage the efficiency of these drones. And that apparently, that future energy-based weapons system will apparently aim to damage the drone's electrical circuits. So this is as far as the technology developments have gone in a very, very short period of time. Apparently, there are already some systems, some solutions, which are undergoing testing and even in operational use, while the others are clearly under development. So I just wanted to give an idea of the amount of work that's going on behind the scenes in order to address this very, very significant threat, because there are some people who have claimed we are sending our soldiers to their deaths in Lebanon without addressing the significant threat that they are under from these explosive drones. And while we know that we've been using netting and all kinds of provisional solutions to somehow try to stem the damage that these drones have done. This is an indication, some sort of a little window, little peephole into some of the technology and the technological developments that are going on. So that's really good news, and we hope that within a very short period of time, we will be able to say that that by and large, we have a solution to address what is a potentially quite a significant threat.
Kuwait airport was hit by a missile attack in which one person was killed. Initially, Donald Trump said he saw the footage of it and it didn't look so bad. It looked horrific, actually. But in the Iranian embassy in South Africa tweeted out last night, the damage was as the result of the failure of the American defense systems. So, yeah, of course, Iran... this is what they're saying. What do we know about this incident?
Well, we don't know a great deal, to be fair. I mean, originally it was claimed that it was an Iranian missile that hit Kuwait airport. As you rightly point out, the Iranians have come out saying, oh, that wasn't us. That was the Americans firing a missile of some sort, whether it's an anti-missile system or whatever it was. And that's what hit Kuwait airport. The Americans have responded saying that the Iranians are lying and that lies come out at every opportunity. And they've made quite a statement about that. But really, at the moment, we don't have any objective evidence to show exactly what happened at Kuwait airport. And let's be honest, I mean, hitting an international airport is a significant incident. I would have thought that that would have ticked things up quite considerably. If I was in Kuwait right now, I would be saying to the Americans, this is not okay for missiles to be raining down on our airport, whether it be an Iranian missile or whether it be a US missile, whatever it is. Something needs to be done to address this issue. And by the way, if this missile does come, has come from Iran, we should be responding. We shouldn't be sitting here with our hands behind our back accepting this sort of behavior. Interestingly, President Trump did make another somewhat unrelated but very related statement where he said that the US would only consider going back to the war with Iran if US citizens were killed. That's what he said. So Kuwait is effectively being sacrificed, I guess, in that particular situation, because, you know, the fact that it happens to have hit the Kuwaiti airport, which is a very significant connection with the international world and outside world, Kuwait being a very, very small country and desperately needing this connection with the outside world. The fact that the airport was hit, as far as the President Trump is concerned, is not a big deal. And as you rightly point out, he tried to minimize the impact of this missile and the importance of it by saying it didn't look so bad. So all of this feels a little like the Americans are sacrificing some of the Gulf countries and potentially Israel, because there are a lot of people.
I was just going to say, there's definitely, from what I'm seeing, a tremendous shift in support for Trump amongst from Israeli commentators. And if you look at some of the way in which he is dealing with it, it's starting to be a little uncomfortable or strange or inconsistent.
It really is. It really is a little uncomfortable. And one of the comments that President Trump made, I think, went down particularly badly in Israel. And I think that he might well just be deluding himself, because he was asked by a member of the press whether Prime Minister Netanyahu had pushed him into starting the war with Iran. And President Trump, not only did he take responsibility and say, I started the war in Iran, he also went on to say, and Israel should be grateful, because without me starting the war in Iran, Israel would not be here any longer. Mm. That's what he said. Mm. Now, President Trump, with all due respect, Israel has been here for the best part of 78 years. And many of those, most of those years were without him supporting Israel, and indeed without even proper support coming from the US government. We could argue that over an extended period of Israel's existence, the US president, the US administration did nothing to help Israel, and in some cases did quite a lot to harm Israel. And in spite of all of that, Israel has survived and existed and got through American administrations one after the other. So I think it's a little disingenuous for him to come up with a statement saying, oh, without me, Israel wouldn't be here, because I think that that's not true. But, you know, people, the listeners out there may have a slightly different view. But when you make statements like that, you need to be ready for whatever comes next, right?
Absolutely,
because
right.
I think he's really losing. When he made the statement that he thought that if he ran for prime minister in Israel, that he would get a vast majority because the Israelis love him. I think on that day, he was probably right. I think if he had to stand today, I think he would get many less votes than before. And I think he's somewhat stepping over the line. I think he would have done well to stop when he was winning, and right now he's kind of not doing so well.
Israel and Lebanon are reported to have reached an agreement and a ceasefire. What's been agreed?
Well, it was very underwhelming the way that all of this was reported, and it didn't really hit the headlines, and it was just sort of contained in a little side story somewhere. And I think that therein lies the real message, that even though the announcement by the US State Department is that as a result of these US-led negotiations in Washington, the two countries have agreed on the implementation of a ceasefire. Well, they can't agree on an implementation of a ceasefire because the party who is the one who is causing the war was nowhere to be seen in these negotiations. So there is no ceasefire because, as we saw, as soon as those ceasefire announcements were being made, missiles were flying again in southern Lebanon, and towards the Israeli border, Hezbollah were attacking. So there is really no ceasefire, and the notion that these discussions, negotiations have led to a ceasefire, I think, are very misleading indeed. However, it is, I think, significant that the two sides have come to this agreement and that they've agreed to establish some pilot zones, in which the idea is that the Lebanese army will have certain exclusive control over the area, which means Israel won't be present, and which also means Hezbollah won't be present. And I think that the second one of those is always the more difficult one to achieve. So I think that my summary is that if we were dealing with the Lebanese government and we had put Hezbollah to one side, it would be easy. We would have peace with Lebanon. I would be off to Beirut to have coffee and be able to come back to Israel afterwards. It would probably be quite a long drive, but I would go and I would have some coffee on the Mediterranean, on the boardwalk in Beirut, and I would come back in. I don't think that there would be any problem with that. The real issue is Hezbollah, and of course, by extension, Iran, which is really calling the shots. So I think that is the reason why this was a somewhat underwhelming achievement, because the real players, being Iran and Hezbollah, are nowhere to be found in these negotiations. And until we can get that under control, this is really not that meaningful.
That is absolutely right. We have a few moments that we can still chat. The Knesset yesterday voted on the appointment of a new state controller. Who was elected?
So the new state controller is Michael Rabello. And the reason that this is a big story is because he was up against a former Supreme Court judge, Yosef Elron. And ultimately, he needed 61 votes because the Knesset, of course, is made up of 120 people. It's a private vote. It's a secret vote. So nobody should really know who, whatever somebody else is voting. But this became a very partic political issue. And Michael Rabello is a Prime Minister Netanyahu's personal lawyer, who the Prime Minister put up to be the next state controller, because we know that the state controller potentially has some influence over whether there will be a national commission of inquiry into the war. And so the Prime Minister, it seems, wanted to make sure that he had a friend in that position in order somehow to avoid a national commission of inquiry. And this even went further than that, because in the secret ballot, Likud members were photographing their ballot that they were putting into the envelope and sending it out to make sure everybody knew who they were voting for. Because the vote was so close, there was like a three-line whip that was drawn effectively forcing members of the Likud to vote in a certain direction. Now, if the demand was that people had to make public who they were voting for in order to prove their loyalty, then that clearly is an abuse of democracy. However, I don't think there's anything stopping people from volunteering to say who they voted for. So this has become a really controversial issue. Some people are saying it's an abuse of democracy and that people have to show their loyalty to the prime minister. But this has now been done. Naftali Bennett says that this won't stand, that this will be challenged in the high court as an abuse of democracy and as a not valid vote because people were forced, in a sense, according to his statement, to reveal who they voted for in order to prove their loyalty.
Let's see what happens there. Anthony Rock, thank you as always. Thank you for a fantastic week of Israel Reporting. Wishing you a fantastic weekend. A Shabbat Shalom, and we'll catch you on Monday, 7:45 for the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.